Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Billy Ray Cyrus has gone from achy breaky heart to playing Doc several seasons over PAX TV. BR's latest career move unfolds Sunday night on CMT as star, executive producer, and you might say semi-inspiration of new comedy Still the King. Co-star, executive producer, and writer Travis Mickelson joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Many of worldwide television's movers will bunker down in Canada the next few days, attending one of the world's most regarded TV conferences. Banff is the place, and the preview comes later this hour from marketing director Scott Benzie. Also ahead, Nashville moves forward on CMT. We will have the breaking details. Descendants 2 moves forward, and the answer to this week's Patrick Kearney question. Will we have three winners in a row? You'll find out. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. We thank you for joining us on the program All About Television, 73 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Appreciate you being aboard. We're going to some interesting places, Nashville and Canada, over the next 60 minutes, and we invite you to be along for the ride and participate as well. How do you do that? You raise your voice and you use this phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have another way to get involved in case you don't like the phone. It's our chat room at blogtalkradio.com, and that's SimonApple04 by name. Guest 993 just popped into the room. So either way, phone or chat room, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Travis Mickelson from Still the King will join us live from Music City, USA, after these news notes. And speaking of Music City, USA, Nashville is alive and set to land on CMT for its fifth season. Co-producers Lionsgate and ABC Studios wrapped the deal with CMT earlier this afternoon, less than a month after ABC canceled the series. Hulu will continue to run new episodes the day after CMT plays them. It's not known yet when production will resume and when Season 5 will start on CMT. Most of the cast is expected to return, and 30-something co-creators Marshall Herskovitz and Edward Zwick will take over as executive producers. Award-winning actress Helena Bonham Carter will star and executive produce St. Maisie, a miniseries about the 1930s New York-based movie theater owner who made a difference for homeless people in her tough neighborhood. More details forthcoming. And all systems are go for Descendants 2, a follow-up to last summer's Disney Channel hit flick. Cast and director Kenny Ortega will return with filming underway in a few weeks. And that's news notes for now. Interesting to note that a year ago, CMT did not have any scripted television on the air. Now think about this. With the Nashville deal we just talked about a few moments ago, it's very possible that the network, owned by Viacom, will end this year launching not one, not two, but three scripted series. Nashville, Million Dollar Quartet, based on the off-Broadway then Broadway hit, and starting Sunday night, Still the King, the latest effort from former Doc star and, of course, country music star Billy Ray Cyrus. Joining us live from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, and everybody exclusive, the co-star, executive producer, and writer of Still the King, Travis Mickelson. Travis, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
We'll get to Still the King in a moment. First, your reaction to Nashville continuing, making the move from ABC to the network that your series is playing on.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it employs a lot of my friends here in Nashville, and I'm just excited that they're making an effort to keep the show going because it's really made a mark on the city, and I'm glad that they're keeping it around.
I guess being in Nashville, you were present to the effort over the last month to keep the show going. Lionsgate, the producers with ABC Studios, were very committed to finding a home somewhere. There was talk that Netflix might get it, Hulu might get it, Hulu is going to get it the day after CMT plays the episodes. What kind of buzz was there in Nashville about keeping this show alive?
I guess it's just I had heard that that they were working on getting the show on this network, but I didn't know for sure if this was going to happen. But I'm just thrilled because, you know, just it just strengthens our roster and gives us a stronger network and a broader appeal to different fans of different genres and stuff. I think we're sort of the redheaded stepchild of Nashville in our show. So it's fun to have sort of the yin and yang of those two different series at the same time.
And even though your show is officially premiering on Sunday night, you got a sneak premiere after the CMT Music Awards. I believe 3.3 million people saw the awards themselves with simulcast on CMT, TV Land, and Nickelodeon Nick at Night. And then your show came on, and at least 2.2 million, I believe, stuck around to catch it. What's been the reaction from them?
Oh, it's been fantastic. It's the highest ratings the network has ever received for any show they've ever had. And I think it was really cool that they're sneaky about that, and they threw it up there without really telling anyone, just to sort of see what the reaction would be before the actual premiere, and it was very successful, so we're really excited about it.
This show has been talked about at least for over a year. How did Billy Ray decide this was the time to get back into television with a show that not only he is starring in, but he's also overseeing, and you're involved with him?
Well, he met with us about 3.5 years ago and told us about this idea, about this con man preacher, Elvis impersonator guy, and this idea he had. It was called Nash Vegas at the time. And we thought, you know, if he's willing to go dark and really, put himself out there, then this is something that we really want to do with him. And he really was on board for being self-deprecating and sort of toying with his own self-image and having fun as his character. So we had a blast writing with him. And it took us a while to find a home, but CMT came on board. We shot a pilot just independently without a network attached 3 years ago. And, it went through a varied different forms and formats and finally landed with CMT when they decided they wanted to make scripted TV. So we were really excited that they were ready to do that with us for their first time.
Mm-hmm. When he got you aboard to join him, what did he tell you about how to write his character, how to write the series, how to produce it? You said just a moment ago that he wanted sort of at least a semi-dark tone to the show. And by the way, how willing was he to sort of open up his own life and his own career to get it satirized?
He's been fantastic. He really doesn't take himself too seriously and has a lot of fun with his career and stuff. And he's been very open. You know, a lot of this the storyline is sort of runs parallel to his own life, but it's also really embellished, and we have, it's a lot crazier what we wrote than anything that he actually experienced. But sometimes we're in a really weird situation, something we've shot, and he'll turn around and go, "Wow, that was surreal," that hit pretty close to home, But he takes it all in stride, and he's been very a great sport this whole time.
So tell us for those people who didn't see the sneak peek this past week, what the show's about.
So Billy Ray plays Vernon Brown, who used to be a country star named who went by Burnin' Vernon was his nickname. And back in the 90s, he had a big hit song. But after he had a success, he got real cocky and full of himself and just pissed everybody off and just squandered all of his fame and fortune on booze and alcohol and women. And he gets busted with some underage girls in a hotel party, and his career just goes up in flames. So here we find about 20 years later, and he's a washed-up country singer turned Elvis impersonator. He gets busted in a small town after a crazy drunken joyride in a bread truck with a couple ladies of the night, I'll say. And he has to do community service at a church that he damaged by running through the church sign. And they, when he goes there, he decides he's going to con the church into believing he's their new minister, because he finds out it pays pretty well, and he has to pay child support for his 15-year-old daughter he's never met from a one-night stand about 15 years ago. So a lot going on. We really tried to create a lot of obstacles for him to get through in order to get back on top again. So he's just trying to stay on his feet, really, at this point.
Life of life for somebody who is trying to get back from the one-hit wonder days and restart himself all over the place. Well, speaking of Travis Nicholson, he is the co-star, the executive producer, and the writer of CMT's first original scripted series in quite a while, I should say. It's called Silver King. It premieres this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on that network. And if you haven't heard the news, it is also becoming the network of Nashville, either this fall or early in 2017. Travis joins us live from Music to the USA, Nashville, Tennessee, this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live, Interview Exclusive. Happy you're aboard for the ride on this June Friday. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If a question or comment for Travis, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonAckle04. My name is guest 1004, and Rick over good friend from Philadelphia also in the room. We promised you a special interview to lead off today's episode, and that interview will lead off our episode on Monday. Emmy-nominated Game of Thrones director Jeremy Padeswa will join us. He's the person who directed the first two episodes of the sixth season currently on HBO, including that controversial character resurrection episode. And he will be with us live as our lead guest. Also, what's ahead for WGN America, coming off big critical acclaim and maybe some possible Emmy nominations for its latest original series, Underground and Outsiders. Earlier this week, WGN America announced a new person in charge of original programming. His name is John Wax, and he will join us in what I believe will be his first major national media interview on the air. John Wax of WGN America and Jeremy Padeswa from Game of Thrones, they're both with us live in the exclusive interviews Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Travis, what character do you play, and was it your intention all along to executive produce and write along with Billy, or did that sort of evolve out of taking the role?
Really, initially I wasn't going to act in the show, but maybe I am an actor, so one of my co-creators, it was created by me, Patsy Ponsaroli, and Billy Ray Cyrus, and so Patsy told Billy Ray, he said, hey man, you know, Travis is an actor, we should throw him in there somewhere, and Billy Ray just jumped on that idea and really boosted my character into being something that was a much bigger thing. I thought I'd be a cameo, you know, be like a, you know, some weirdo at a truck stop or something fun like that in one episode. But I ended up developing this character, and my character is Walt, who my father had played in Billy Ray's band when I was young, but he passed away when I was a kid. So I don't have much of a connection to my father except through Billy Ray. So when I run into him in prison, I made him in jail, and I'll get to the reason why I'm in there in a second, but he remembers me and ends up bailing me out of jail to help him with his con, because he's supposed to be the convict at the church doing community service, but he can't do that and be the fake preacher, so he comes and bails me out so I can, in exchange, pretend to be the con man and do the community service for him. And I'm in jail because I shot a lumberjack named Dale, who was very hairy, who I thought was a Sasquatch, because I'm sort of a redneck conspiracy theorist. And I decided that I had found Sasquatch when really it's just this extremely hairy lumberjack named Dale, who's played by Ryan Long, who actually was a Tennessee Titan player. And we covered the poor guy in hair and made him play the son of Sasquatch. Saying this out loud sounds pretty silly when I think about it.
you got a very eclectic cast, because in addition to Billy Ray and yourself and the former Tennessee Titan, you also have someone that a lot of people remember as one of the cast of Party of Five or the Wild Thronebirds, if they are Nickelodeon cartoon fans, Lacey Chabert, and this is a very unusual role for her.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah, we were really lucky to get her. She plays sort of the church busybody who is sort of ups the stakes for Vernon. You know, she's always kind of snooping around and keeping him in check as the fake preacher, you know. So he's always got to kind of sneak by her. And her name's Laura Beth is her character's name. It's just fantastic. And in addition to her, we have a lot of, you know, other people like Kevin Farley, the late Chris Farley's brother, who is fantastic, really funny, has that Farley quality to him that is just unmistakable, and he's been incredibly generous to be on our show, and just a funny guy and a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you've got two very interesting women of different ages who are also involved in the show. One is Joey Adams, by the way, for those people who remember the famous Rock on Tour comedian, not that person. I don't think she is related. But also you have this 15-year-old named Madison Eisenman, who I have a hunch, I've seen her in the pilot. I think she's going to be, there's another one of those in a year where we've seen so many breakout stars on various new scripted series. This may be another one. She and Joey may be another two to add to the bunch.
Absolutely. I think Madison is a great actress and really showed us how incredibly talented she was on our series, because she has to do a lot. She has to be an angst-ridden teenager who has daddy issues, but also be charming and funny at the same time, and that's a really hard line to walk, and she did it so incredibly well. And Joey Lauren Adams, is I've been a fan of hers forever. A lot of people remember her from Days Confused and from Big Daddy and other movies, but she's just this really has this unmistakable voice and charm about her, and her role also was very difficult because she has to be angry with Billy Ray half the time, but also we have to like her and root for her. So her task was very challenging, but she did it expertly.
Now, I believe that when Billy Ray was doing Doc on PAX TV, now ION TV, he was just basically the star of the show playing a doctor in sort of a country setting. He was not involved
sure.
in the writing or directing, whatever. What's it been like for him to make the transition where he is not just starring in a show, but he is, along with you, responsible for everything about it?
Well, I think it's been really challenging, but also really fulfilling for him. I mean, a lot of people don't know this about him, but he's just really funny. He's a funny guy and incredibly charming. You know, he just never meets a stranger. He has such a varied friend group, which was great for us because we got to bring people in. Like, you know, he'll have Wayne Newton on the show, for instance, and then he'll turn around and he'll be calling you know, Marilyn Manson or Wiz Khalifa or these crazy people he's friends with that are all, from all different walks of life, because he's such a charming guy. And that really shows in his involvement with the writing of the show and his acting. It really comes across. I think that people are going to be surprised by his abilities there.
Mm-hmm. What kind of reaction has there been to getting the show produced? It's an independent production. Special production company to put this program together. Did you shoot it all around Nashville or all around the Nashville metro area? And if not, where did you shoot it? And what kind of you know, cooperation have you had from local authorities to put the program together?
Well, the state incentives were great. That helped us a lot. They've been fantastic. Bob Raines and the Nashville Film Commission, Tennessee Film Commission, were incredibly generous with helping us. This community is really ripe with professionals. I mean, after the 90s boom of country music videos and stuff, it's still maintained. There's a lot of creative professionals here that still live in the city that I came up working with, and it was just great to have them all involved. I mean, half these people trained me how to tie ropes and run cable back when I was a PA in Nashville back then, and so now they're working with us, and so there's a big community, big family of people, and we did shoot it all in Nashville, all around the Nashville area, and a lot of the local haunts that I grew up going to, we got to shoot in. It was pretty surreal, really fun.
Still the King, it's the first of what looks like will be three original scripted series that CMT will launch this year. It premieres on the network officially this Sunday night, 9 to any specific time. We've got Travis Nicholson. He is the co-star, executive producer with Billy Ray Cyrus, the star of the show, and writer on the program. He joins us live from Nashville, Tennessee, right here on Tamavi Televised this half hour. Happy you're aboard, too. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or a comment, you got a few more minutes with Travis, so make it happen. 646-652-2906, or you go chat room, Simon Apple 0400. We welcome guest 1029 into the room. Next Friday on the program, among our guests, we'll be reuniting with the folks from Denver, Colorado, who 1 week from today kick off their interesting TV festival. It's called Series Fest. We first showcased them last year. This is year number two from Denver, Colorado. And joining us will be the co-organizers and founders, Randy Kleiner and Kaylee Westbrook. We will talk with them about how Series Fest goes in year two, and we hope to have the best pilot winner on an upcoming episode. That's the folks from Series Fest live from the Rocky Mountain State joining us. That's next Friday, 3:30 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televised. And once again, coming your way on Monday, Emmy nominated Game of Thrones director Jerry Podeswa in a radio exclusive interview, and the new executive VP of original programming at WGN America, the folks behind Underground, Salem. and outsiders, John Wax, in what we believe is his first major national media interview. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here. On tomorrow, will be televised. For you, Travis, how did you stretch taking on all three roles, particularly in terms of producing and writing?
I just was thrown into the deep end and had to learn how to swim. It was definitely more challenging than I ever could have imagined. I mean, and I'm just lucky that I had such a great team of people working with me because I was definitely in over my head. I've learned a lot. I'll still have tons to learn, but it'd be pretty strange. Like, you know, I'd be on set watching the monitor with my headphones on, watching a scene play out, and then I would be changing and going in front of the camera, and it got a little confusing. I remember a couple of times I would get mixed up and say, "Hey, man, when did we shoot that scene? Like that? I didn't think we shot that already." And then Potsy or somebody would be like, "Dude, you're in that scene." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, right." So things like that get a little confusing, and you get your wires crossed a little bit. But it was really fun, and you know, luckily, like I said, a bunch of people that I've worked with for a long time were here to help hold me up and keep me going, and I couldn't have done it without all their help either.
Mm-hmm. Our listeners would probably crucify me if I didn't raise the subject. I'm going to raise it in a very sensitive manner for everybody involved. Obviously, the last couple of years, when Billy Ray Cyrus is not known as his own performer, he's also known as Miley's dad. In putting the program together, did the subject among him, the writers, yourself, the cast, did it ever come up of let's satirize that relationship, or let's develop the characters in some way to maybe reflect that relationship?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that some, and we really just wanted to let this be a totally original thing, and not because it seemed like it was too obvious of a thing to do. You know, like that if we did that, it'd be like, okay. I felt like that was kind of a cheap shot, and it would be too easy for us to do that. And I know that Billy Ray wanted to keep this sort of, as much as it parodies and parallels his own life, he wanted to keep his sort of family dynamic out of it. But Miley's been a huge supporter and incredibly generous with us. And when she saw the pilot we shot back in 2012, she finally saw it like a couple of years ago or something, and she had us all out to the house and talked to us all, and she goes, "Guys," and she it was pretty funny. She had her dad leave the room. They had like a little code. She was like, Billy was like, you want that cup of coffee we talked about? And she was like, "Yeah, Dad, I'll have that cup of coffee now." And it was obvious that it was just to get him out of the room. And she said, "My dad is a wild man." She said, "He is such a character and so wild and crazy. You guys have to use that." She said, "What you've done here really lets him showcase his sort of wild side and how crazy he can be and fun." And so she was just like, "I want you guys to push this thing as far as you can in that direction." So she really wanted us to mess with her dad and have a good time with him. And you know, we talked about her having a cameo on the show, and that may still happen.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other inspirations besides Cyrus's own life, things like, you know, films like Honeymoon in Vegas or other way-out television shows that also try to reflect a slice of someone's life in a parody way?
Yeah, we've always been compared to Eastbound and Down and My Name is Earl, sort of a mashup of those two shows. That's what people usually say when they see it. And we definitely, growing up in Nashville, and I'm the son of a songwriter and producer, musician, and so growing up and playing music in this town and seeing all these sort of characters in this industry, we tried to sort of parody that in some ways and show some textures in this town that a lot of people don't see. You know, Nashville sort of shows a glossier side of the music industry, and it's also a drama, so it has all that. So we really wanted to be able to flip in the other side of showing the grittier side, the more of the musician's struggle, and sort of poke a little fun without making fun. You know, we're in on the joke with them, but sort of the Nashville music industry, especially from the 90s when Billy Ray came up, there's so much fun to be had with that era.
So where does the plot go from here after Sunday night? What kind of situations do you and Billy and everybody else get involved with?
Well, we wrote the whole series. It's very serialized, so you know it's good to watch it in order. And the whole season has a big arc for Billy Ray. He goes through a big transition as a person, and he's really becoming an adult for the first time, despite himself. You know, my character and him go through a lot of different transitions. I have to sort of my goal is sort of to find a family and find friendship. I'm kind of a loner, and I have to kind of reconcile that. Billy Ray has to come to terms with the fact that he is a father now, and that his actions have had consequences. He's not a bad guy. He just makes bad decisions. You know, Billy Ray always says, you know, he's got a good heart, but it's a lot easier going downhill than up. And that's sort of the genesis of his character. And also, you know, when we were writing in the room, we had this big sign on the wall that said, by helping himself, Vernon inadvertently helps others, which is sort of, he's sort of a selfish guy, but he starts through his actions of self-preservation, ends up helping other people in the congregation and around the town. So that all comes back to help him later in the season.
What could be the beginning of a big era of scripted television at CMT begins this Sunday night with the premiere of Phil the King, starring and executive produced by Billy Ray Cyrus. 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on CMT. Check your local info for where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, www.cmt.com. That's www.cmt.com. Phil the King, Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Co-star, executive producer, and writer Travis Nicholson, thank you again for joining us live from Music City, USA. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground. Congratulations also to, again, the Nashville people on keeping that show alive, now on that very same network. And all the best for not just a great season, but hopefully a wonderful run.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast, and hope to talk to you down the line somewhere.
You got it. Our pleasure. Take care, Travis. Have a wonderful weekend, and good luck with the premiere Sunday.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Travis Nicholson, co-star, executive producer, and writer of Still the King, joining us live from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Did we get a third classic trivia question of the week winner? We will tell you after a message from Audible.com. You know, for the last few months, I've been sharing with you about Audible.com, the fact that it is a wonderful home for some of the best sound entertainment information you can find anywhere. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. Every genre around, from the best novels to classic literature to all sorts of wonderful things involving radio and TV programming. But to think about it, if you really want to hear what Audible.com is all about, you got to hear it for yourself. And it's so easy to do that. Just go to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, and check it out. Sign up. Nothing to argue about. You get a free audiobook from one of the 180,000-plus titles that they have 24/7. You get a one-month trial of the service, and you get great customer service because, after all, Audible.com is an Amazon company. And that's why Audible is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. Remember, you can listen to any of those titles on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. Like I said, there's only one way to really hear what Audible.com can be for you, and that's to give it a trial. Really hear it loud and clear. So go to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, and just sign up. Choose that book from their great catalog. It's great. It's free. The one-month trial is free. And then make the choice from there. audibletrial.com/televised. Do so today, and you can get right in on a wonderful universe of terrific spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and, yes, inspiration. Only from Audible.com. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. We were going for three winners in a row, and unfortunately, the streak ends at two. No winner this week, so unfortunately, nobody gets the wonderful new book, Twin Peaks FAQ, the latest in that popular series of books all about television, this one dealing with both the famous ABC classic series and the upcoming revival on Showtime, published by Applause. The question we had for you at the start of the week, name the all-girls school on the popular sitcom The Facts of Life. The answer was Eastland, E-A at East. Land, put it together, Eastland. That was the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Nobody got it, so nobody gets Twin Peaks FAQ. The good news is we'll give you another chance to win it How? Join us on Monday's episode. Listen to the classic trivia question of the week. If you know the answer and you're first with the correct answer, you will win Twin Peaks FAQ published by Applause. All you have to do, email me with that answer. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your mailing address in full. And if you're first to the correct answer, you win. You can also find me on Facebook, and you can use this Twitter hashtag, TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. That Twitter option made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at hopscotch.com. So be in and win. Starting on Monday. When we come back, we're going live to Canada and checking in with Scott Benzie. He's the marketing director for one of the most important media festivals anywhere on the globe, the BAFF World Media Festival. He will join us at Route to Calgary, near where that festival is. We'll get to him after we get to this, when we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio on the planet. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the nearness of you. If you want to know the difference that soldiers of World War II and other wars made in this country and around the globe, check out the nearness of you, Mondays exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow We Tell Live on this June 10th, 2016. Simon Applebaum back with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, Rick River from Philadelphia, in the room. I want to introduce you to a place called Banff, B-A-N-F-F. It's about an hour's drive from Calgary, about a two-and-a-half-hour ride from Los Angeles. Now, for a lot of people who are not in the television field, Banff is, well, it's just a city. But for people in the television industry, it is a major place to go to reflect on what's going on in television and figure out where it is going. And that's not just for TV, but for all of media. We're talking about the Banff World Media Festival, and it happens every year around this time in that section of Canada. Believe it or not, it is the first time in the 9 years we've been on the air that we've covered Banff and did so in depth. Joining us live en route from Toronto, Canada to Banff is the marketing director and one of the key organizers of the festival, Scott Benzie. Scott, thanks for making the time.
Not a problem, Simon. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Scott, why is Banff so important? Why has it become a very important place for people in this field to gather?
Well, Banff has a uniqueness about it that isn't shared from some of the other markets in the industry, and it's really hard to put into context for those who haven't been. But it's in the mountains in Canada. It's a resort town that most of the year is, is ski slopes and resorters and getaways. But for these 4 days, broadcasters and buyers and independent producers and networks and pitchers all converge on this little town, and they really take over. There's almost nobody else in the town, so you have these 4 days of all the same people together. And they're sharing. We have pitching sessions with our face-to-face meetings. There's thought leadership sessions with masterclasses going on all the time, and it's really just 4 days of industry that you don't get anywhere else. You'll meet somebody on Monday at one of the sessions. You'll have a drink with them. You'll have a talk. You'll see them for the next 3 days. So it's really unique for relationship building when you're an independent producer and you're trying to build relationships that you just don't have anywhere else because nobody can go anywhere. And I mean that as a good thing because you can't, I can talk about the beauty of Banff and you can look at pictures, but you really can't put it into context until you've been there. It's one of the sites on the globe that everybody should see.
It sounds like also it's your country's equivalent of what takes place in Sun Valley every year in the Rocky Mountains for many of the major media domos, including TV domos, that Allen & Company, the investment firm, does every year, where they're sort of cooped up. They get the chance to do all sorts of panel sessions, maybe do some deal-making, maybe big deal-making, as has been the case in past years, as well as take advantage of the sights and sounds.
Yeah, and that's really what we try, the environment that we try to create in Banff. You could be unbeknownst or beknownst to you if you're real savvy, just sitting in one of our lounges having dinner beside you know, one of the buyers from HBO and not knowing it. It's almost like everybody's put on a level playing field when you're somewhere that majestic and you're just sharing the same experiences together, and it really is a unique experience.
What are people going to talk about this year when it comes to television? What is on top of their minds?
Well, Banff, historically, we've kind of, you know, we've kind of really focused on storytelling as an art form, and all these great content creators come out and talk to different platforms about where storytelling is going. Obviously, television has evolved, and it's almost passé to talk about the evolution of television and OTT and digital channels. I mean, we were doing that 5 years ago. Now what we're talking about is the convergence of all of those platforms together. How are they going to leverage each other to help make money? I think it's come to a point in the industry where, you know, the industry isn't talking anymore about beating the other guy, you know. A TV network isn't talking about how are we going to avoid our stuff showing up on YouTube or how are we going to avoid our stuff being available online. People are really finding partnerships and relationships now, and how are we going to make it all work together? What's in it for everybody, and how can we make this a better experience for the viewer? You know, with that comes audience engagement, which is a big topic that we have this year. You know, audiences now are affecting the outcomes and the way television is being written. There's been backlash online that has changed the way some shows and some programs have moved. The influencers, and, you know, capital I influencers, are now more important than ever when it comes to sharing stories and sharing content. And it's the convergence of all of that that happens at Banff. One of the things we do that, you know, isn't really a focus for a lot of other markets is brands being involved heavily. So how are the brands working with networks? What is content and brands doing together? You know, what's going to happen to the ad agency if brands get their hands on these developers themselves? So it's just the convergence of all those things in Banff for 4 days, and it's pretty hairy, but it's a lot of fun.
What do people sense about where we're going with this boom of scripted television? We know it's out there. We know there's a little bit of a divide in the United States in terms of how long it is going to last and how more expansive it's going to get. And some people are already making a hue and cry of, well, we don't have the talent to have this go to a whole other level in terms of both quantity and quality. And other folks are saying, well, yes, we do, because take a look at what's going on in the air now. You're seeing a lot more shows. One of them we just talked about, Billy Ray Cyrus is still the king on CMT, where we're seeing people, whether it's a star like Billy Ray or whether it is a person from independent film or from other aspects of movie making or from theater or from book writing, novel writing, who are not only getting a chance to create a show, but also to run the show, to actually produce the show and have a certain vision on the air. How much of a debate is there at Banff about where the scripted TV movement goes?
It's funny you say that. People actually say that about scripted TV. I mean, we're in a scenario now. This year at Banff, our company of distinction, who help us shape the programming, and we honor them and their programming, is HBO this year. So we're going to have a bunch of executives from HBO come up. And I don't think anybody's transform scripted television the way that they have. You know, you're getting, in some cases, with like a Game of Thrones or a Girls, you're getting a movie, what people would have considered a movie quality experience, on your television screen every week. You know, these are all scripted programs, and I think it's the evolution of the scripted program. You know, it's not. Sure, it's no longer, you know, Facts of Life, and followed by Who's the Boss, followed by Golden Girls, and, you know, whatever the run is, with even with like the ERs and the Game of Thrones. I mean, there's so much talent out there now because there's so much of a platform for young artists to have their stuff made. Jenny Connor and, you know, the new HBO head of programming, Casey Bloys, are going to talk about Girls at Banff this year and how that evolved from, you know, from a few people's ideas on what's funny to writing it down on paper and it turning into one of the most successful television shows in history. I think that the networks and the broadcasters themselves are being far more receptive to ideas that come from outside the box, that don't quite come from internal development anymore. And as long as they're open to do that, then there's no reason to think that any there's just going to be more of all content than, you know, the downfall of a certain genre of content.
Scott Benzie is the marketing director, one of the key organizers of the annual Banff World Media Festival. It starts off this Sunday, June 12th, goes to June 15th. He's with us live on route from Toronto, Canada to Calgary, where Banff is close to. And he joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Scott and Apple Banff with you live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Scott, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 652-2906. Area code 646. That number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country or around the globe, Canada included, on Blog Talk Radio. Got the chat room open to it, blogtalkradio.com. It's Simon Apple 04. My name, Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, in the room. Remember, coming up on Monday, Emmy nominated Game of Thrones director Jeremy Podeswa. He's also done Six Feet Under, The Newsroom, True Blood, a lot of terrific classic shows. And he is with us live as our lead guest on Monday. He did the first two episodes of Game this year, including that controversial Resurrection of Major Character, the second episode that took place on HBO a few weeks ago. He's our lead guest. And then, what does WGN America have up its sleeve in terms of new original programming following the success of Underground and Outsiders, not to mention the return of Salem and Two Seasons of Manhattan? Well, earlier this week, John Wax became the new head of original programming, and he will join me live for what I believe will be his first major national media interview. That's all coming up Monday, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Scott, back in the 1960s, 70s, and the 80s, when people thought of shows produced in Canada, some of the thoughts were second class, cheap, if it's cheap, it really doesn't make it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that may have been unfair. But now you have a total turnaround where when people think of shows produced in Canada, whether it is Lost Girl, whether it is A Wynonna Earp, which we had the star and the creator on a few weeks ago on this program, Orphan Black, which won the Peabody Award 2 years ago, people think it's as good as anything. How big a difference has this festival made in turning around that image? And how is the festival now helping Canadian television get seen here in the United States and all around the world?
So thank you for saying that, by the way. I'm sure a bunch of organizations that we work with will be very happy to hear that. One of the shows that helped turn that around is actually shot just outside of Banff, Hell on Wheels. Obviously, I think they had 6 years, and they're coming to an end now, but that was shot right beside the festival. So we always had those people out. And The Revenant, most recently, was shot out there. So Alberta Film, the province of Alberta, is having a big resurrection in film and television. As far as how the festival has affected it, I think that one of the luxuries that we have is we bring everybody to the same place and at the same time. And, American broadcasters and networks become exposed to Canadian content and Canadian television like they haven't been able to before. One of the things we run that's really interesting is the Rocky Awards, which has been 36 years now, and it's really the only awards ceremony where, Game of Thrones is going up against a production from Toronto and a production from Korea, and all over the world. 36 countries were nominated this year. So we really try to not just expose Canadian content, but global content to the rest of the world. This year, I think we've got 22 categories. It's going to be really interesting, people from all over the world. But content no longer has any boundaries. And I don't think that the quality of television has gotten better. I think it's a different kind of television now in Canada. One of the things, Canadian comedians, SCTV and Second City, we've always been lauded for that. But now we're starting to see the real talent in drama, and especially sci-fi, as you noted out, really come to the forefront.
Yeah, shows like Continuum, Wynonna Earp, Lost Girl, Killjoys, Dark Matter are all shot there, either in Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver or Calgary. Helix, which was on Sci-Fi the last 2 years. Another example of a newcomer, Cameron Passanda, who came through with a television show that Ron Moore from Battlestar Galactica put together. It's really interesting, the incredible track record that's going on. And we have the news on Monday that we broke the Frank Spotnick's of Man in the High Castle is going to be doing a Canadian co-production. I believe it's called Indie Detective. That will be coming
out
next
year. One
of the
things I'll be remiss if I didn't talk about on how how Banff really affects it. There's a show on Netflix which just got renewed for its second season called Between, which is a Canadian production about teenagers when everybody over the age of 25 disappears. Really popular show on Netflix. It had a production agreement in Canada with Rogers, and the Between guys decided to take a gondola ride in the mountains with the guys from Netflix, and they basically pitched the show to them on the gondola. You have this enclosed space where they can, kind of skip the elevator pitch and went a couple thousand feet higher. But that show was made in a really interesting co-production between a network here in Canada, and I don't know if you call Netflix an over-the-top player anymore, but an over-the-top player in the States. And now this show's, into its second year and doesn't show any signs of slowing down. The case study's on our website. It's one of the real cool things about Banff on how networks and broadcasters from different countries get together to, make success out of programs that might once have just been restricted to Canada.
Incidentally, Michael McGowan, the creator-producer of Between, was on our show last May when it premiered, and we should point out for those who don't know, Between is the show that stars the former co-star of iCarly and Sam and Kate, or Sam and Captain McCurdy, who's a wonderful talent, as people are seeing from that show. People knew her as a very, tough girl, fast talker, great with a punchline, and this series showed her in a whole different way.
Yeah. And just a great Canadian success story because it, a co-production with a network and Netflix, Canadian-based, and, the groundwork for the sale made at Banff. And they didn't ink the paper there, but, that's where they'll all trail it back to.
Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, we have now seen over the last decade the emergence of television festivals that allow people outside the TV system to create pilots that are seen both by the general public and compete in an independent pilot competition that could lead to a talent development deal or could lead to a show going on a network like HBO. Animals, which was a 2013 winner of the festival in New York, is now an HBO series. Has there been thought about Banff doing a similar situation? Because now seeing this around the country, we're seeing Series Fest, which we'll be covering for the second year next week, on the Rocky Mountains. There's a festival in Los Angeles. There's a festival in Austin, Texas. There's a festival in Atlanta. Any thoughts about perhaps, if they don't currently do it now, Banff as a way to showcase pilots for potential series that an HBO or a Rogers or Bell Media or Bell Media, of course, like the Comcast of Canada, of your country, or Showtime or networks in, covering your neighbor, your nation, that a similar situation like the OTV Festival, where pilots get an opportunity to be seen and maybe, get a network break. Any possibility of Banff becoming that kind of showcase?
Yep, so we do have some level of that goes on. I mean, we have some, obviously people come with reels and pilots. We consider ourselves a little bit more of a development market, so the step before the pilot. We facilitate, one of the things that makes Banff different is we facilitate face-to-face meetings between producers and production companies and buyers, where they will sit down with an idea, with a pitch, they're scheduled through our platform, and it's really more of the development of that pilot, where they're building relationships at the ground level as opposed to, here's my finished product level. 150 development executives and buyers from around the globe come and take facilitated meetings, which again makes Banff a little bit different than everywhere else. They're on the schedule. People show up, and there's these wild pitch sessions that happen. So not so much pilots, but we focus on the pitch a little bit more.
Are you getting a lot of participation from some of the newer players that are using smart TV sets and smart devices like Roku and Apple TV, et cetera, to be seen, like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, Fullscreen, CISO, et cetera?
Yes. So most of the names you just mentioned are all there this year. Vice, YouTube, even Twitter, Kin Community, Fullscreen, Corbis, all come out and take pitches as well and do some pitching of their own content. There's almost no difference anymore for the storyteller and the creator. CISO especially, Dan Harmon's coming out this year to talk about CISO in one of our sessions, and what does the relationship between CISO and I think it's NBC Universal and you know, what does that mean? It's still an over-the-top platform, but how do they work together? How does your content, you know, if it's on that platform, different from NBC Universal, and does it really matter at the end of the day?
Exactly. One of the interesting pre-BAM stories is that Rogers and Vice have a Viceland channel in your nation, and they announced earlier this week that they're going to do a scripted comedy. We have been waiting for a long time for Viceland, which, of course, is here in the United States via A&E, well, the former network formerly was H2. We're still waiting for them to tell anybody what they're up to because they have not been very courteous, kind with the press. But it'll be interesting to see whether, because Spike Jonze, the famous film director, is involved, whether at some point they will do scripted TV as well as unscripted.
I can't see how they wouldn't. You know, you were talking a little bit earlier about CMT getting into scripted programming. I don't think that it's an option not to anymore.
Scott Benzie is marketing director, one of the key organizers of the annual BAMF World Media Festival. Kicks off this Sunday, runs through next Wednesday, June 12th to the 15th. And if you're interested in finding out more about it, we'll tell you about it through their website in a few minutes. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Tomorrow Televised. Glad you're aboard on this Friday, June 10th, 2016. We're here from New York on Blog Talk Radio. A few more minutes with Scott. He's on route from Toronto to Calgary, which is about an hour away from the festival site. And if you have a question or comment for Scott, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Scott, one of the big stories in our neck of the woods is virtual reality. There's a sense that it's going to become a player on the television set, as well as through devices like Samsung's Gear VR, Next VR, Oculus, et cetera, et cetera. How much play will virtual reality get at your conference this year?
Great question. I'm glad you asked it. I just finished a phone call with Samsung before I got on. So there is going to be a couple panels on VR this year. Samsung is going to be present with their headsets. We're actually shooting a lot of the sessions and interviews from BAMF, uploading them right to Samsung's channel in Milk VR this year. And people will be able to see it. If they have a VR headset, they can put themselves in BAMF. It's one of the pieces of content that lends themselves to that kind of technology. Vice is going to be on hand at BAMF with Rogers and VR gear. So that will be really interesting to see what they're promoting. So to answer your question, it will have a very, very, very large presence this year. And these people, you know, these programmers, Samsung is taking pitches from content creators at BAMF to include, you know, VR content in their headset. They're becoming a broadcaster.
It's amazing to see whether that's interesting that they're using your conference to break that news.
I don't think it's a secret. You know, they've been content buyers for a long time now. They have their own channel in VR, and I think that technology and, you know, even technology providers now are becoming broadcasters and networks. Brands are becoming broadcasters and networks. We have Fairmont, Cadillac, MasterCard, Reebok. They're all coming out, and they're all taking pitches from content creators. You know, I can't remember the last time I watched a normal commercial with a jingle. Instead, I'm watching a Dove commercial and getting all cryy and teary-eyed because it's this amazing piece of content that's been generated and a commercial. And I think that once you get great storytellers connected with brands, you see the face of advertising changing as well. And that's important.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see, Scott, whether Samsung, which is also a smart TV player, decides that they will put that content on their smart TV sets. Maybe also make it available to devices like Roku and Google Chromecast. Because we know that Apple TV is doing it with a company called Little Star, where you can see 360-degree VR content and use your Apple or your Siri, Apple remote or your Siri voice device to control which way the picture goes. Is there something for us to go on the radar screen as far as television is concerned that we don't know about that you think your festival is going to showcase this year?
I think you're going to see some announcements about partnerships come out. You know, you mentioned the Vice and Rogers. It's already been announced. You're probably going to hear about some more about that kind of partnership, the cross-platform partnership between, you know, whether or not it's a digital platform connecting with a traditional broadcaster. Just seeing these companies come together and try and find ways to no longer beat each other, but to join each other. And I think you're going to see some news about that. You know, one of the things that I'd like people to do is check out the website. Check out, we're going to have a live page up for what's going on at BAMP. You'll be able to see, you know, interviews with Richard Plepler, Casey Bloys, Jenny Connor, Steve Zalian, Lenna Motto, Damon Lindelof, all representing HBO this year, Russell Peters, LeVar Burton, Don Carmody. We've got the makers of Making a Murderer coming out and doing a masterclass, which I'm really excited about. I don't know if you were addicted to your television during that, but I was. Great Canadian Jay Baruchel is going to be out. It's going to be really exciting.
If you want to know more about the BAMF World Media Festival, which starts this Sunday, runs next Wednesday, June 12th to 15th, near Calgary, and I might add also about a 2.5-hour plane ride from Los Angeles, here's where you go online, BAMFMediaFestival.com. It's BAMF, B-A-N-F-F, MediaFestival.com. I have a feeling that when you see that site, you might become a believer that this is a very special conference, one of the very best of its kind anywhere in the world. That's the kind of rep it has. That's why quite a number of people will be there starting on Sunday, including the person we've been talking to this past half hour, Scott Benzie. Scott, thank you so much for what you do along with the rest of your BAMF crew. Have a great conference starting on Sunday, and look forward to hearing a lot of news out of it.
Thank you, Simon. We'll talk soon. Next year you come out.
I will definitely make the effort. You take care.
Okay. Bye, Simon.
Scott Benzie, Marketing Director and Key Organizer of the BAMF World Media Festival, joining us live en route from Toronto to Calgary. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, a Big Inter Radio exclusive, Emmy-nominated Game of Thrones director Jeremy Padedra. Also, another Big Inter Radio exclusive, we believe his first major media interview, the new head of original plumbing at WGN America, John Wax. Also, coming up that afternoon, Tim Cook, the head of Apple, is scheduled to make the keynote speech for the annual Apple Worldwide Developer Conference, the first one that will involve Apple TV 2.0 with direct developer involvement. Any news that Cook makes out of it, we'll bring it to you in a news note that afternoon. Read the news to New Pacific right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you enjoyed our show today, but you came in late, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, well, check out our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out on podcasts, along with other Blog Talk Radio programming at iTunes.com. And speaking of Apple TV, on the iTunes podcast app for Apple TV 2.0. Download it to your smartphone or tablet, and take us on the go anytime you like this weekend and beyond. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, iTunes, and the Apple TV 2.0 iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV 2.0, find it in an Apple store near you or order it online. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's up with where you stand about where TV's at, where it's going? Well, let us know. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. New question on Monday. Or if there's a TV show you like, you think deserves more attention, let us know. We'll highlight our show to know feature, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon and TWBT. Any way you communicate, we appreciate it, because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates, Amy Domenico and Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow the Telebox is brought to you today by Audible.com. It's a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information and an Amazon company. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Thank you to all my guests this past hour. We'll catch up with you on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Have a fantastic weekend. Be safe and be great out there. And as always, until next time, stay well and stay tuned.